Hello everyone and welcome back to the Narnia Web Council. We have a pretty good sized group today. Of course, I'm your host Rillian, as always. And today we have Glumpuddle. Glumpuddle, welcome back.
Hi.
We have Jim Fenn with us as well.
Hello.
We have Dr. Ransom with us. Dr. Ellen Ransom, how are you today?
I'm fine, and I'm astounded by Glumpuddle's articulateness, if that's a word.
Well, today, this podcast is basically going to discuss the casting change from Eddie Izzard to Bill Nighy. There was a report on some new footage, but we're actually going to save that for later. In fact, maybe by the time the next podcast comes out, I don't know, maybe we'll have some kind of actual footage that we can see, because we have not actually seen the footage as of yet. So we're saving that for later. We're pretty much doing this whole episode on basically our reactions and our thoughts. So to start off, I'm gonna ask Glumpuddle to go first. Glumpuddle, I mean, you and I chatted about this over the phone actually within a few minutes of finding out, or a few hours anyway. What are your thoughts about this?
My initial thoughts were of absolute despair, and that I don't think it's any secret that I've always been a huge fan of Eddie Izzard, and Reepy Cheep obviously is definitely one of the most beloved characters in the entire series, and arguably children's literature. And so considering how long I've been a fan of these books, and how many times I've read them, and how, I guess you could say attached to all the characters and the stories I've become, it's a pretty remarkable thing when an actor can come along and actually... when I read the book now, I almost hear Eddie Izzard's voice as Reepy Cheep. That's how much I loved his performance. And one of the things I was really looking forward to in Don Shredder is, like, okay, he kind of got the basic gist of the character, which is all that the film really does in Prince Caspian. Now it'll be so exciting to see him take it all the way and develop it, just like Lewis did, and take that character all the way in the next movie. And I'm just really disappointed, and since I'm so attached to Eddie Izzard, that to be hearing someone else's voice coming from that character, it's going to be really difficult for me. So I was really, really upset by it. And I like Bill Nighy; I think he's a good actor, but I think it's going to be a really difficult adjustment.
Okay, so Jim Fan, you're kind of representing the other, not really representing. You are the other side in many ways. what are your thoughts on this?
Well, when I first found out, I was wondering if time hadn't sped forward and if it was not April Fool's. I was pretty surprised. But, you know, after taking some time for reflection, I can't say I'm, like, happy, thrilled, but I am definitely not unhappy. Because, as you guys will bear witness to, I was never really happy with the way Reepy Cheep was portrayed in Prince Caspian. Now, I'm not saying it was all Eddie Izzard's fault. I think a lot of that had to do with the way the character was written. But I don't think they got one part of his character right, you know, the kind of very, what's the word, very courageous, adventurous... you know, he wants to do everything. I think they got that. But there's more parts to Reepy Cheep than just that, you know, like his nobility and his dignity. And I never thought that came across very well. So when I found out that Reepy Cheep was recast, obviously I think it was because it was a creative reason, not because they couldn't get Eddie Izzard. I think they want to take the character in a different direction. And I think maybe they thought that the Reepy Cheep from Prince Caspian was not set up, not able to be the Reepy Cheep that they need in Don Treader, because Reepy Cheep has an incredibly big plot point in Don Treader. And so maybe they thought that the Reepy Cheep from Prince Caspian just couldn't be the Reepy Cheep that they needed. So I'm definitely very interested to see, you know, why, you know, to hear exactly why they changed it, and interested and excited a little bit. You know, I think a different direction for Reepy Cheep will be a good thing.
Well, I'm going to give my thoughts just a little before you, Dr. Ransom. I kind of stand more where Glumpuddle is, and I have to say that it's been now, how long has it been? 3 days since I heard the news, and I am no less disappointed. I'm not as you've been able to think through it a little bit, but and again, I have to kind of agree with Glumpuddle on Bill Nighy. I think Bill Nighy is a fine actor. I like his performances. I think you know, his we'll see what he does with his voice and how he changes it. Some actors are more adept than others, but really, I mean, when I think of Bill Nighy, I think of someone more old, a little bit less vigorous. But I think, you know, Eddie Izzard, I think, really brought in a lot of great life to the character. I think he did to the character what, you know, someone like, you know, Ian McKellen did to the role of Gandalf, you know. Maybe some people didn't quite see it quite that way, but it's faithful. And I have to disagree with you, Jim Fenn. I think that Eddie Izzard brought a great deal of nobility and dignity to the role. He brought a lot of the intense kind of edginess of the character. And but with that still resolute and somewhat somewhat cool-headedness that Reepy Chief has, whereas he's never – yeah, he's an exciting character, but he's never scared or fazed by anything. And I thought that Eddie Izzard captured that really, really well. And I am disappointed. Basically, where I'm put back to is kind of a starting point of, you know, I can look at Bill Nighy and say, okay, yeah, he could do a good job, but I was never as excited about Bill Nighy possibly playing Reepy Cheep as I was about Eddie Izzard. Because when I first heard, you know, Eddie Izzard's performances and things, I thought, you know, this guy. It took me a while, but once I heard Eddie Izzard, I thought, you know, this guy could do a really good job. That's kind of where I am right now. Dr. Ransom, where do you fall into this whole quagmire?
I think my position is based a lot on, well, I think all our positions are based on how we view Reepy Cheep as a character. You kept using a few terms that, you know, while of course it's a literary character, so it's subject to different readers' interpretations. You kept using terms like edgy. I never viewed Reepy Cheep in book prints, Caspian, as edgy. I viewed him as extremely traditional. And by that, I do mean extremely traditional. He was traditional to the extreme, all that nobility and the chivalry and all that. And I don't want to unnecessarily blend something that Jim Fenn mentioned earlier, the writing adaptation of Prince Caspian. I don't want to blend that with Eddie Izzard's performance and say, well, Eddie Izzard, you know, was all made too much of a sarcastic Reepy Cheep for me. They got a lot right, but some of my issue with, if I have an issue with Izzard's performance, would just be everybody was really sarcastic in Prince Caspian. I don't mind some sarcasm movies, of course. It makes for some good laugh moments, but at times it just seemed unnecessary and distracting. And perhaps the film adaptation for Voyage of the Dawn Treader will have less sarcasm. That's what I've been led to believe, just based on the director and the direction of the adaptation. But perhaps Izzard would not have been as sarcasm. He would have been a more mature Reepy Cheep in Voyage of the Dawn Treader, but maybe they didn't think so, or maybe they had a disagreement over where the character would go. Who knows? I was okay with Eddie Izzard, not overly impressed or overly depressed. So for me, it's just, well, this will be very interesting to see if they do anything a little bit more. The only term I can think of now is classical with the performance, and classical, yeah, with the role. Maybe closer to just book Reepy Cheep than more of a sarcasm Reepy Cheep.
Just to clarify, when I said edgy, I don't mean edgy in any kind of, you know, I meant edgy is in terms of just...
No, I think I know what you're talking
I'm thinking about. I'm talking about his eagerness and his energy, and maybe enthusiasm would probably be, but edgy has kind of a negative connotation. I didn't mean it that way.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean it as a negative connotation, yeah, either. I think my interpretation of when you said that was what you're defining it as now. Just kind of a little bit daring, maybe unpredictable, not edgy like immoral, yeah, or pushing the limit.
Right, right. Yeah, I think Jim Fenn brought up an important distinction, and this is again why I kind of fall to my position is this is, you know, Eddie Izzard didn't write necessarily all of his dialogue. So if we're talking about a sarcastic Reepy Cheep, I'm not sure why getting rid of Eddie Izzard would fix that. Why couldn't you, you know, maybe that was something they could have fixed, if that's a problem, by, you know, with the new writers, which they do have, and keeping Eddie Izzard. That's partly why I think, you know, I'm not sure why that makes it better. But you can't put all of the blame
on the writers as well, because as an actor, you can take lines and you can interpret them any way you wish or the way the director wishes you to. And as I'm just thinking out loud here, but say, okay, as a comedian, maybe he's used to ad-libbing and making things up, and maybe he'll come to the director and say, oh, well, this is how I see this. What do you think? Oh, that sounds good. Why don't you try it that way? Sounds good. That's the way it ends up. Okay? With a different actor, you could take some of the same lines and put a totally different spin on it. So you...
Give me an example.
Well, just some of the lesser sarcastic lines I thought maybe could have been a little bit more dignified. Like, it's been a while since I've seen Prince Caspian, so I can't, like, quote for you, but...
Well, I could give you some lines. Like, yeah. I mean, there's some sarcastic lines, like when he says, when Trumpkin comes in during the night raiding and says, oh, we were expecting someone taller. You know, that's probably one of the most that's probably a really obvious example of being sarcastic. So you think that maybe Izzard should have delivered that line differently?
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not just that.
Okay, then what is it?
Yes, but you can, just the way you portray the character and you, like, it's hard to describe, but you can't say it was completely Eddie Izzard's fault. No more than you can say it was completely the script artist's fault. There's always a middle. So
that's what I was saying, is that I don't really want to blend one with the other. I don't want to confuse one from the other and go, well, yeah, that's Izzard's fault. When at least my interpretation is of the movie, while I enjoy it a lot, I don't enjoy it as much as The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe in a lot of respects. And just everybody was sarcastic in their own way, but it was like sarcasm is the name of the game, and it's kind of a trendy language thing. And a lot of this is kind of a referendum on how we have our various perceptions of Prince Caspian and what we liked and what we weren't so thrilled about and what we wish were different in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
I think you're a little overgeneralizing. I get what you're saying with sarcasm, but I'm just trying to think about, I mean, the things that I thought, in what ways... Jim Van, you were a little more specific on this. Dr. Ransom, in what ways do you think were maybe ways that Eddie Izzard's portrayal of what was a little bit unfaithful to as far as capturing the dynamics of the character? Because I thought he, I mean, if I'm going to name a lot of these different qualities, I think he certainly didn't neglect any of them. I mean, even in some cases, I think you know, on the forum, Jim Fannin and I kind of went back and forth on, you know, whether he was, you know, as far as being bloodthirsty or such. And I brought up the line from Voyage of the Dawn Treader where he suggests that they should have, you know, hanged every one of the men
but
on that ship.
It's one line, though. And that's not all Reepy Cheep is. It's not more neglecting.
Okay. It's
not neglecting. It's more overemphasizing.
Okay. I have an answer to this. First off, this is the Reepy Cheep in Prince Caspian, not the Reepy Cheep in Voyage of the Dawn Treader, keep in mind. Lewis introduced Reepy Cheep in Prince Caspian, and in Prince Caspian, he's a very minor character.
Fair enough.
And he really is little more than a character like the Bulgy, but... Huh?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Want to go ahead? What was he saying? Okay. I mean, I'd say in Prince Caspian, the book, Reepy Cheep is little more than a character like the Bulgy Bear, where it's just like, oh, it's a funny character, you know, a bear that sucks his paws. And Reepy Cheep is, oh, he's, you know, a warrior mouse. That's kind of funny. And then in Dawn Treader, he's developed more. So I think one thing, and just bear with me for a little bit here, I think one thing that you're doing is criticizing the Reepy Cheep in Prince Caspian for not being the Reepy Cheep in Voyage of the Dawn Treader. As far as that just being one line, it is certainly not just one line. In the Prince Caspian book, Reepy Cheep wants to storm Miraz's castle that very night. When Reepy Cheep meets Dr. Cornelius, he says, if anyone in the army does not give you good language, they shall have my sword to reckon with. Trump can describe Reepy Cheep as someone who can kill with looks. I think it's Wimbleweather who laughs at Reepy Cheep a little bit. Reepy Cheep says, "If anyone present wishes to make me the subject of his wit, I am very much at his service with my sword whenever he has leisure."
But can't you
and then, of course, there's the pirate example
without it being ridiculous. Like Reepicheep was portrayed by Lewis, I think, was more like an aristocratic gentleman, you know, chivalry
yeah,
and honor.
I was about to say.
But I would never think of that as being ridiculous. It's very dignified, very noble, very honorable, and that is not the Reepicheep in Prince Caspian, the movie.
I would not describe
Reepicheep.
Just a sec, guys. We're going to let Glumpuddle finish, and then Ransom, you're going to talk, okay?
Right then.
Go ahead, Glumpuddle. Go ahead and finish.
I would definitely describe Reepicheep in the book as ridiculous, but he's definitely a little bit over the top, a little bit... like he just loves the theatricality and sort of the drama. I think he kind of knows he's over the top, and he's okay with that. I like what Lewis writes. This is one of my favorite lines about Reepicheep. He says that his mind was full of forlorn hopes, death and glory charges, and last stands. I just think he gets caught up in the epicness, if you will, in the drama of that, and he longs for that, that kind of death and glory. And so he is a little bit, not ridiculous, but a little bit of an over-the-top character, and that's part one of the things people love about him.
Dr. Ransom, what are your thoughts on this little discussion?
Well, Jim Fan mentioned something that I wish I'd mentioned earlier, is the book Reepicheep, at least in my interpretation, and I'm guessing her interpretation too, his tendency to be very aristocratic, and that's sort of goes back to what I said, where he's extremely traditional. Yes, he's all very about death and glory and epicness, as Glumpuddle said, but he's also traditional and aristocratic and chivalrous and all of that, which to some extent was reflected in Prince Caspian, and enough to make me okay with it. I was not irritated as much as Reepicheep. I was irritated by everybody's sarcasm, but not specifically with Reepicheep. I was just okay with him. But it seemed to be alongside a very teenage aspect to his character. Reepicheep was almost more of a teenage mutant ninja warrior mouse, a little bit more so than I would prefer in Prince Caspian, the movie, as was in the book. Now, in Voyage of the Dawn Treader, there, as you said, Rillian, I think there is more character development to him. In the Voyage of the Dawn Treader book. So perhaps in Prince Caspian for the film adaptation, they had more of a blank slate to work on and fill in, and maybe they thought, hey, let's give him this little rough kind of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Warrior mouse. And for Voyage of the Dawn Treader, perhaps they said, you know, he's a little bit deeper here. Reepicheep of Voyage is very religious, which, while he's definitely an Aslan believer in the Prince Caspian movie, you don't get that as much. Maybe the prevailing theory, it seems to be, or maybe not prevailing, but I see it a lot, about how, well, they wanted somebody, you know, to help kind of mature the character. Maybe that is closer to the truth, because the book Reepicheep and Voyage is deeper than the Prince Caspian Reepicheep, whether you're talking about book or movie.
But then if you're talking about the character being deep, I think they already... I mean, I think they already took some bits of... I'm trying to remember, maybe Glumpuddle, you can help me out. There was one bit of dialogue, I thought, that was from Voyage of the Dawn Treader that they put into Prince Caspian for Reepicheep. And
There was that whole idea of where Lucy says in the movie, oh, he's so cute. He goes, who said that? That was, I think, very much inspired by Voyage of the Dawn Treader, where Lucy wants to cuddle Reepicheep, but she knows it would offend him.
Yeah, probably. But, I mean, I think, you know, yeah, but I think the dignified aspect was there. I mean, you look at how he treats the king and queens. I'm not sure what they... I mean, unless we're talking about adding more of Reepicheep to Prince Caspian and expanding it further, I mean, I can't think of what they would have, you know, what part they would have changed to make him more, I guess you say, aristocratic, as you say, because there's some, I guess maybe you're, you know, Jim Fan, pulling more from the gentlemanly side of Reepicheep, which is definitely there, for sure, in the books I'm talking about. But, you know, when I think of Reepicheep, I also have in my mind the fact that he frequently loses chess because he sends the knight charging in to do something stupid that would work in a real battle, but not with a chess piece, you know. So,
if I were writing that scene for the movie, if I were doing that, I would make him do that with such deadly seriousness. And yes, a dramatic flair, but also just taking himself so seriously. And that fits with Aslan's admonition to him at the end of Prince Caspian book, and fortunately, no, maybe it wasn't in the film, but it's saying, I think sometimes you worry over much about your honor. It's not really a chastisement of Aslan, it's just a suggestion. And maybe that's the key to this whole thing, is that Reepa Cheep is just so honorable. He's almost selfish to the point where he's not selfish. He's just all about valor and great deeds and storming in and have fun storming the castle, you know, that sort of thing. I think some of that was there in the movie, but alongside, not instead of, but alongside some unnecessary teenage Reepa Cheep sort of thing.
Can you give me an example of when you say teenage Reepa Cheep?
Teenage Reepa Cheep. Oh, see, I'm like Jim Fan. It's been a little while since I've seen the movie. It's been at least a year.
What are you talking about? Teenage Reepa Cheep?
He asked me to give examples.
Well, it's like that
Teenage Mutant Ninja Warrior.
Bits and pieces.
Okay. I'm trying to think about it. See, I could say, you know,
Teenage Reepa Cheep would be Reepa Cheep in the Howl, and he's like, and take the nuts and throw them at the Telmarines. Shut up.
Yeah, oh, that's Teenage Reepa Cheep. Just a little bit, yeah. That it's moments like that I'm thinking about, and I kind of wish I'd now watched the movie again real quick before we started this. But, you know, that I wouldn't blame that on Eddie Izzard. It's very hard to deliver a line like that without saying it sarcastically. I imagine that's exactly what they wanted, and, you know, it's kind of funny for what it is. It's just not 100%
see, that's
my
the thing. That's the thing is, I'm thinking about this, and, you know, I thought of that example, you know, quite a while ago, early into this discussion, thinking, okay, if they're going to bring up an example of a sarcastic remark from Reepa Cheep, that would be a great example.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not sure how you're going to, like you just said, Ransom, I'm not sure, why is it better? Maybe this is the real question we have to get down to. Why? I mean, it's sort of a, we're sort of talking about nothing here because we don't know what Nighy is going to do with the performance. Wouldn't it be hilarious if, you know, 2 years from now we're having another discussion and Glenfiddle and I loved his performance and you two hated it? But
yes,
I'm trying to think
of
why. I want to
go back to Teenage Reepa Cheep. No,
how
it
does,
so serious.
How does getting rid of Izzard fix situations like that? Because I think a lot of the time he did give the character a serious and courtly tone, and again, you know, and that's the thing. And I'll just interject right now. I think Nighy can do the courtliness really, really well. It's those very eager and the long for glory and death in battle moments that he gives that maybe Nighy will do a good job with. But I can't say whether he will or not. But I do know that I loved what Izzard did with that. So I'm not sure why getting rid of Izzard is going to really fix the problem. Glenpuddle, I think you've talked. You haven't talked for a while. You want to go, and then maybe Jim Fan.
Sure. There's been a lot of discussion about how there's so much more to Reepa Cheep than what they showed in the movie, and oh, he's too sarcastic, or he's Teenage Mutant Ninja Warrior, whatever, and all of those. I can kind of understand, but again, this is the Reepa Cheep in Prince Caspian. What happens in the books is Reepa Cheep is introduced as a very just a little more than kind of a funny little tiny character, and then he's developed more in Don Shredder. And so whatever Reepa Cheep is in the Prince Caspian movie, you would say, well, I think more than likely they were planning on developing that in Voyage of the Dawn Treader. So is that all there is to Reepa Cheep? Of course not, because we've only seen the Prince Caspian movie. We haven't even seen the Dawn Treader movie yet. And as far as Reepa Cheep, I mean, Reepa Cheep is a little bit over the – again, not ridiculous. He's a little bit over-dramatic, I guess you could say, and a little bit funny, of course. I mean, when Caspian first meets Reepa Cheep, the book says Caspian tried very hard not to laugh because he couldn't help thinking that Reepa Cheep and all his people could very easily be put in a washing basket and carried home on one's back. Reepa Cheep is kind of an amusing character, and what I love about the character, I think he kind of knows he's cute, he kind of knows he's amusing, and he hates it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I've got to say at this moment.
Jim Fan?
Well, I obviously Reepa Cheep is funny in the books, and there's nothing wrong with making him funny, but there obviously is different kinds of humor, and the Reepa Cheep in the Prince Caspian movie seemed a little bit more juvenile than the Reepa Cheep in the book. So like I said, I don't know exactly why Eddie Izzard got replaced. Obviously, it must have been some creative reason. I don't know. Maybe they just wanted...
That.
Yeah, well, we don't know, but we can only assume. So let's say...
We can assume other things, like scheduling. Scheduling could be a real issue.
I'm actually going to agree with... I'm going to agree with Jim Fan on this one right now. After thinking it through, I think it probably wasn't scheduling. I don't think it was scheduling. I definitely don't think it was money. So I think at this point, until any further evidence
turns
up,
that's true,
because
it's a voice role. That's true. There's not really much scheduling problems with a voice role.
Right.
So I'm gonna agree with Jim Fan here and say that it was probably Apted wanted to do something that I guess he didn't think Izzard could do.
Yeah. So then you say, okay, why? Some of the posters in the thread said, okay, well, maybe they're going for an older Reaper Cheap, and they didn't think Eddie Izzard could bring that character across properly. I don't know much about Eddie Izzard. I haven't really seen anything he's in. Let's just say maybe they wanted an actor who can do comedy, not a comedian who does acting. Because I think there is a difference. I think there is a difference, and when you have a trained actor, they can do a little things differently, add a little bit more depth. Maybe they just wanted something that was a little bit more, you know, in depth and not so one note, because I thought Reaper Cheap in Prince Caspian was very one note. So
is the character in the book Prince Caspian more deep?
I think it could have been. Portrayed in the movie, I think they could have done a lot other things with it. And like we said, okay, Don Treader.
Right.
If you're still using the same actor in Don Treader, maybe they didn't want the same type of performance, and maybe they thought Eddie Izzard couldn't give the kind of performance that they wanted. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't know much about Eddie Izzard, so I can't personally say whether or not I think he could or could not have. I'm just trying to get inside of the producers' heads and saying, why would they make a creative decision to replace a voice actor?
I agree with you, Jim Fannin, that, I mean, I think the reason he was cut was probably for creative reasons. And also, I mean, when Adamson was casting for Prince Caspian, he was casting for Prince Caspian. He probably wasn't thinking too much ahead on Don Treader, or he wasn't the Oaken Eddie Izzard to do that. Probably, at the very least, his priority was to find the right voice for Prince Caspian. And I suppose it could be that Apted felt that he couldn't, wasn't able to do the Reaper, even though he was did fine on Prince Caspian, he wasn't able to do the Reaper Cheap on Voyage of the Dawn Treader. At this point, since we don't have anything else to go on, we have to go through that is most likely a reason. I'm just disappointed. I mean, I definitely don't think that the age reason could be it. Like you were talking about, like, oh, he's aged a couple of years. We have to, I mean, maybe he probably looks a little older, but I don't think he should sound older.
Here's the main thing. I don't know why. It probably was a creative reason. What those specific reasons were, I don't know. But I guess why I'm still disappointed. As I read Voyage of the Dawn Treader, I think that Eddie Izzard could have done a fantastic job of developing the character further. Maybe he would have done a better job. Maybe I would have been happier with how he developed the character with Apted directing than I would with Adamson. I just don't think that when I just started out looking at the two characters, I think, you know, I think Eddie Izzard did a great job. And, you know, he's a comedian, but he's also done acting. I mean, I've seen, you know, a couple of his films, and just because you're a comedian, I mean, a lot of comedians end up being very good actors. Robin Williams being a perfect example, someone who can do a lot of serious drama as well as comedy. So I guess at the end of the day, my closing thought on this, because we could go for a long time on this, my closing thought is I think that Eddie Izzard could have done a great job continuing to flesh out the character of Reaper Cheap, and I'm sorry to see him go. Do I hope that I will like Bill Nighy better? Yeah, I hope I think it'd be great if I'm more happy with Bill Nighy's performance than Eddie Izzard. Yeah, the continuity will be a little bit annoying, maybe, but I hope he does a fantastic job, but I'm still, I think there will always be a little bit of me that was sorry to see Eddie Izzard go. I mean, time will tell.
Okay, who's next?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do the ladies first.
No, I want to wait. I'm still formulating my thoughts.
Ransom,
I think I formulated mine, if that helps.
Okay, Ransom, why don't you go ahead?
Well, in terms of prominent fantasy film roles, and perhaps this is only because I only try to see the ones I like the best, I can only think of the casting change from, drat, I forgot his name, who played Dumbledore in the first two Harry Potter films. Yes. I can only think his death made them have to go for Michael, I believe the last name is pronounced Gambon, for the third film on Gambon? Oh, crud. I've done something horrible. I've, what? How do you pronounce it then?
Glenpuddle, by the way, it's your turn to talk. Don't go on a new tangent, Glenpuddle. You have a whole spiel on Gambon, but...
Gambit. All right. Okay. There we go. At least I didn't say Gambits or something. Yeah. Okay. That's an X-Men villain, I think.
Although I do have a feel on Gambit as well. But well, that's.
Okay. Okay. Well, I look forward to seeing the comments to that. Although I do want to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Mouse in some signatures, at least from people who've heard this podcast. What I mean is that I can watch those films now and go straight from Richard Harris to, I believe that's the name, to the new actor, and I don't think it's a continuity. Confusion at all. And of course he's an actor who's hidden inside robes and a beard, but he's one of the central characters of the Harry Potter film series. For Reepicheep, especially if the voices are somewhat similar, and if I've listened to Bill Nighy talk on the YouTube videos when he's not doing the tentacle bearded David Jones, he sounds just like a regular voice. He can almost sound a little bit similar to Eddie Izzard, maybe if he tried. And with the seriousness there.
It's also called post-production.
A lot of films. Oh, what's that now?
Good point.
Post-production.
What was that again?
Voice tweaks.
Yeah.
Voice tweaks.
I hate to rely on post-production.
Yes.
But that's another discussion.
Well, I'm and I wonder if they would, you know, do even a slight pitch shifting. I don't know, because he does have a slightly deeper voice from what I've been able to tell. But for me,
I have heard that they did raise Izzard's voice a little bit in post-production. Okay. I've heard that.
Well, then maybe they might. Yeah, maybe they might do a little bit of pitch shifting for Nighy's voice too, because I was just okay with Izzard in Prince Caspian. Like I said, not overly wild and not depressed. It was just okay. You know, could have done without some of the sarcasm, but then again, so could all the characters. And I don't know if you can blame the actor at all for that, as much as the writers, if blame is even a right word. I look forward to the change. I look forward to seeing how Nighy does. He's a very impressive filmography. Probably I've only seen him in Pirates of the Caribbean and the Hitchhiker's Guide movie, which I wasn't too thrilled about, but he was Slarda Bartfest in that movie.
I saw him in Underworld.
Well, he seems to be one of those fun, classical actors who maybe adds some presence to the production, similar to the Harry Potter films, which have just about any classical British actor ever invented.
Yeah.
Now, you know, he's going to be Rufius Scrimgeour. Yeah, and he in Harry Potter, he's going to be Rufus Scrimgeour, the new head of the Ministry of Magic. So these people get around, and maybe they just want somebody with more high classical profile who can do comedy. I think it was as said earlier, an actor who can do comedy rather than a comedian who can act. And Izzard could have done it. You know, it's kind of disappointing that we won't get to see if he could have. Maybe he thought he couldn't. Maybe they thought he couldn't. And we'll find out, very likely, with the DVD commentary for Voyage of the Dawn Treader, if not sooner. I look forward to seeing where it goes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess I haven't talked much about continuity, and I guess it's because it's not really an issue for me. For me, continuity of actors is overrated. I've actually been arguing for years that on the Harry Potter films, every couple of movies they should just recast all the kid actors and not worry so much about getting the actors right and spend more time on the screenplay and stop worrying about the ages. Obviously continuity of character I think is important, and Michael Gambon was a complete 180 from where Richard Harris was. Obviously that's important. As far as a comedian who can act, that's kind of redundant. A comedian, by its very nature, is an actor. That's why so often you see comedians turning into good actors. The main reason you have to understand that I'm a little disheartened by this is that, like I said, you know, I've read these books so many times for years, and I know how I imagine these characters. And Eddie, when I read the books, I almost hear Eddie Izzard's voice. And based on, from what I've just told you about how I don't get attached to actors, I don't mind changing actors every couple movies or something. That's a pretty remarkable thing for me to get attached to an actor, especially to such a memorable character. So that's going to be a really hard thing for me. And again, really disappointed not to be able to see Eddie Izzard take that all the way. Now, if it is just, they're taking it in a more serious direction, they want to do something even deeper that they felt Ezra couldn't do. I didn't hear the auditions or whatever, but even though I kind of disagree based on what I know, I guess I should be a little bit encouraged by the fact that they are trying to go that direction with Reepy Cheap. I think, again, the closing thoughts, I think Bill Nighy is a great actor, and I'll probably do a good job. I'm just almost heartbroken that Eddie Izzard, who I love so much and who I almost hear when I read the books, is not going to get to take it all the way and show what the Reepy Cheap is really all about.
So are you, Jim Fenn.
All right. Well, let's see. I think that this podcast has shown that there's a lot of varying opinions on who Reepy Cheap is as a character. And I think that each of us saw something different in Eddie Izzard's performance of Reepy Cheap. And for you too, Rillian and Glumpuddle, that was your Reepy Cheap. So it's very understandable that you guys are disappointed. But to a lot of other people, that is not Reepy Cheap. And so...
A lot of other people?
What are the stats right now in the poll?
It's about tied.
I mean, right now, I'll just sum it up and say that right now, 52% feel positively about this, and 48% feel... say it again. 52% feel negatively, 48% feel positively.
No,
say
it again the first
to do
time.
With whether
it,
or not you
liked... I liked it better the first time you were saying that.
It doesn't matter. It's...
About
Tide.
Well, that poll has nothing to do with how much did you like Eddie Izzard. It could be that most people loved Eddie Izzard, but just are excited about Bill Nighy nonetheless.
Let me finish.
I can definitely say that, unfortunately, a lot of the Narnia Web polls, all the old Narnia Web threads are down, but it was pretty overwhelming. There was a big, extremely positive response to Eddie Izzard at the time the film came out. And now, seemingly almost overnight, not as many people like him.
So you were going to say...
Well, not everyone. Okay. So, some people, that's not Reepy Cheap. For me, that was not Reepy Cheap. So, obviously, I'm not thrilled about continuity, but I'm not unhappy. I am very interested to see Reepy Cheap being taken in a new direction, and... That is how I personally feel. I don't expect everyone to feel the same way. Since if you're so personally attached to it, then, you know, that's okay. But if you look at it objectively, such a horrible thing. It isn't. Personal things aside, it's not a horrible thing. And I don't think it'll ruin the movie. And
none of us is saying it'll ruin it.
I admit that's the main reason is that I'm attached to it. I admit it. I'm sure Bill Nighy will do a good job.
Yeah, but it might still – I recall you saying that your expectations for the film had just dropped drastically when you found out that Eddie Izzard wouldn't be doing it.
I didn't say drastically. I said they had dropped, and by that I
recall a word being tacked on the end, but let's just say.
I'm pretty sure that was Rillian who said that, but – either way, what I mean is that one of the things that I was so excited about is to see Eddie Izzard take that performance that I thought was so great, which is, you know, again, Reepy Cheap doesn't have the opportunity in Prince Caspian to really show us what he's all about. It's really Don Treader where we get to really define who Reepy Cheap is.
But then if it's so make a difference? If the character in Don Treader is so different from the character in Prince Caspian, why should it make a difference?
He's not different. It's just that he takes us, and the book, it's something very simplistic, and then develops that. And so I think it's – and that's what's cool about the books is seeing this character who's – there's no reason to believe he's going to be a very important character or anything. And then seeing that very simple idea and he doesn't – Reboot Chief doesn't become something else. He just develops into something more of what was already there. And I think it's just a shame that I'm not going to be able to see Eddie Izzard's Reboot Chief do the same thing. Start up very simple and develop into something more. Instead, they're going to recast and do someone else. And I guess as a character, he'll still have the same idea, but it's a shame you won't be able to see Eddie Izzard and his performance develop in the same way.
I'd like to point out that IMDb still has Eddie Izzard as the voice of Reaper Cheap, even though all the headlines are saying Bill Nighy is the voice. So my new theory is that they
no
actually
can trust IMDb.
If IMDb's... If IMDb said it, it must be true, so right. Woo, never mind. This whole podcast was for nothing.
My theory is that they actually cast both of them, and they're going to mix both their voices together. Either that or they have two Reaper Chiefs, and that's a surprise twist at the end of the film.
Well, they've already... And by the way, we know that all of Bill Nighy's dialogue has been recorded, so what's done is done.
Woo-hoo!
It can never be undone.
I think you should cheer up. It's not going to be so bad.
Well,
I think we'll
Jim
come
fan,
back
you're
to
just
this
such a Jim fan winner.
You're right. It's not going to be so bad. It's
so
not going to be so bad. It's just
and that your food has no savor and your eyes are darkened. You don't have to be so funny. It's okay.
I'm extremely disappointed for Eddie Izzard, but
it's okay.
Okay. It's
just,
as of now. It's
not that it's
okay. Still
Jim
heartbroken about Eddie Izzard.
Don't be heartbroken. Don't be heartbroken. Don't overreact.
Jim Fan,
sometimes
I'm still heartbroken about Eddie Izzard,
and then lose to you, and just see how happy you are when you win. That's very fun to hear.
Well,
hey, we won.
Despite our disagreement, Doc and Jim Fan, I don't hold bitter feelings towards either of you. And I won't be seeking
you.
That is a relief.
I'm just glad I'm still alive. I was seriously doubting my survival at some points, but anyway.
Well, I won't be seeking retribution.
There have been many occasions anticipating these films where I wondered if I would survive or not. So nothing new to me.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much. We didn't do a mailbag on this episode, but hopefully for the next episode, if you want to email us your thoughts or email a question to the podcast, you can email it with the subject line podcast. Not
or
really
leave
rocket
some
science.
Comments. I would be interested in seeing the comments on this and to see what your guys' thoughts are, the commenters' thoughts are on this. So if you can see the comments on the page where this is posted, this podcast is posted, leave a comment and let us know because I'm really interested to see.
Yeah, we actually
thinks.
Got.
My guess is that if we had done this podcast a week ago, everybody would have loved Eddie Izzard. But since Narnie Webbers have undergone some sort of dramatic shift in feelings towards Eddie Izzard, probably it's going to be the other way now.
Actually, Jim Fan, you have it on my YouTube blog, youtube.com/princerillian. One guy said, "Boy, you guys need to get Jim Fan in on the podcast. Otherwise, this will be the most depressing podcast ever."
Well, I hope I was able to brighten it up a little bit with the voice of reason.
My day has been brightened.
Ultimately, the goal is not to make people feel good about Narnie. It's to try to express the
exactly.
truth about Narnie.
Right.
And that should be true with anything.
Thank you, Glumpuddle.
Wow. The truth
Whoa.
Can be
yeah,
interpreted. That's deep. Several different ways.
Ah, so you're a postmodernist.
Relativist? You're postmodernist.
This is true. This is true because apparently I think you've interpreted all these. I've compiled this pretty large list of examples of Reboot Chief being not exactly bloodthirsty, but I guess you could call it that. And you still quite don't see that in the character.
Nope.
So, yes,
not
the truth
all.
Can be interpreted in many
Just
ways.
Like
ah, but the rule of good hermeneutics is you.
Different opinion on the film than I do. Because you see it differently than I do, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, you're coming at it from a presuppositionalist approach, which has its advantages, which also has its limits. I think it can be argued from the context of the book itself that all of Reba Cheap's bloodthirstiness and all of that is in the context of his aristocratic, high mighty Knights of the Order aspect to him, and then we could just recircle the entire discussion. So I'm going to hush now.
Which would be developed more? Which would be developed more in Dawn Treader?
Yes.
Again, you can't criticize that Reap and Prince Caspian for not being
if
the Reap in Dawn Treader.
If only we had the objective eyes that you have, Jim Fan.
I know. Well, the world would be such a much brighter place.
I hope C.S. Lewis gets to hear these sometime, and he'll just nod his head in a very sage English scholarly
way.
Oh,
I'm sure.
Well,
no, I'm convinced.
All of you are exactly incorrect.
Heaven being as cool as it is, I'm sure they have podcasts up there. Everyone has their own iPhone, and you know they've got. I'm sure Lewis is subscribed. So, all right.
Definitely.
Well, thank you very much, Jim Fan, Glumpuddle, and Dr. Ellen Ransom. It's been really fun.
It has been.
Yes.
Told you it'd been an hour.
With glitches.
Yeah, all the glitches.
That's what makes it fun.
All right. Thank you very much, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.